Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He has life in mind for all of us, the life of God. You know, as I think about the move of God and what He does, there's no reason for any form of sin, unrighteousness, doubt, unbelief. There's no reason for it. But in order for the Lord to raise the standard, He has to use holy people that love Him unconditionally, that love God, and that fear God. People that are receptive to His knowledge and love His ways, and they love His people. They love the way of life. These are the kind of people the Lord can build upon. They have resilience against pride. They resist pride, and they're very resilient against the ways of evil and darkness. These are the kind of people God can use. When people have sin in their life, it won't work. Their life won't work. And when they can't live in God's glory, they can't go to the next glory. So, when people don't follow God, they're not prepared. They cannot be prepared for the next glory. That's why every person as an individual must rely on the Lord to take them to the next glory and receive training. Some people will say, well, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean by training? Training. Just like in the military, that you don't go to war because you're a patriot. You're in the Army or Navy or Marines or Coast Guard, don't want to leave anyone out, or the Space Force, or any branch of the military. You don't get to go with your wisdom. You have to be trained for what they need you to do. How much more, think about it, how much more the kingdom of God? The Lord builds upon righteousness, not unrighteousness. He's never used unrighteous people to redeem. He used Samson. Samson was not, he didn't follow God perfectly. But he was a judge. He was anointed to kill and destroy the enemy as a warrior. But those that brought life, God always used people that would represent Him correctly. And Samson loved God, but he didn't make the best choices that he could have made as a man of God. But he kept, as long as he kept covenant, his anointing worked. But without Samson, we wouldn't understand the way our anointing works. The anointing is covenant based. So you have to be trained for the next glory, or you'll do things like he did. Whatever people approve in their heart, they simultaneously believe it's all right with God. As if God don't care. But the Lord does things in a holy way. He has a holy purpose. He's taken holy measures to get us to the point that we can live without sin. Now, I don't like talking about sin, but I have to. You can't just receive God's word and do nothing about sin. Jesus came to earth to redeem us from the terrible plague of sin. Sin is a plague. Jesus cured it. You don't go to the doctor and get cancer cut out and then take a sample of cancer back home with you and administer it in your body. Most people on earth would know that that's crazy. But there are people that do it all the time. just, and they become, see, sin is a leaven, and it leavens the whole lump. It gets worse and worse, and it does something to your resistance. You see, you can't fight Satan like a warrior of God if you believe like Satan believes. If you receive his words or condone anything that he's doing, it interferes with how you love God, with how you serve God. And a little leaven leavens the lump. Now, in the days of Moses, the people of God never would have had a clue that the priest of all people, not only the priest, the chief priest would want Jesus dead. And Jesus is the one that Moses prophesied that one would come that's greater than me. Now, all the priests under Moses, they never would have thought that it would come to that. Just like the lukewarm church, we never would have thought that the once God-fearing church, the miracle-working church, would come to a point that it became wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What happened? They didn't have ears to hear is what happened. They didn't resist darkness is what's happened. They used the knowledge of Satan to get gain is what happened. They had possessions. They had reputation. But they held everything back. The lukewarm church is what holds things back. See, the Lord can't set new standards when the status quo is wretched, miserable, poor, spiritually, blind, and naked. They represent God falsely. But when the real people of God walk in God's ways, the enemy steps back. See, the darkness can't comprehend the light, and it don't take a lot of Christians to do a great move of God. It just takes believing Christians. Christians that believe God and reject the darkness of this world. In Gideon's battle, he didn't go to war until he did something with his father's idols. And in the process, the Lord took a man that was not trained and trained him as he went. Let that soak in. God trained him as he went. He gave him, he showed him what to do. Gave him confirmations, encouragement, and told him what to do, and Gideon did it. Gideon followed God. He didn't follow the rogue path of the world. So the only thing he did wrong after he had success, he received gold that came from the enemy without purifying it. See, you don't take people's possessions unless you have to bring it into the blessed and bring it into the kingdom of God. Moses gave an ordinance that all the possessions had to be, if it's metal, it had to be burned in the fire. It was purified by fire. If it was clothing, it had to be purified by water to get the funk off of it. To get the witchy off of it. And see, that gold became a snare to Gideon. His son started acting just like the enemy, Abimelech. It's very important to line up with the word. Not just the New Testament, but the ordinance of the Old Testament show us something. Now, we fulfill the ceremonial law when we believe on Jesus. We fulfill the moral law when we walk in the one law, which is love. Now, Paul pointed this out, Peter pointed this out, and John pointed this out in the Word of God. The law is fulfilled by love. It's in Galatians 5. It's in 1 John, and it's in 1 Peter. See, when you walk according to the word of the love of God, you fulfill the law. very important. And not to leave something, you know, people will say, well, it takes so long to study all this. Keep studying. Fill your heart with the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And get used to doing things at the Lord's command. Let Him train you. See, without training, these things are very difficult. If you don't let the Lord train you, just because you believed on Jesus don't mean you're allowing the Lord to train you. You allow the Lord to train you because you were born again. We don't know what to do. We just come out of the world. If a person just get out of high school, they didn't even take ROTC, and they joined the Army. Or let's say the Marines. The Marines, they're the first one in, last to leave. All right, he went to the one of the most combative branches. He went to the Marines without training. They're not going to let him operate as a Marine. Or if he wants to be a Navy SEAL, he has to be trained. If you're going to be a warrior and a watchman and effective, an effective man or woman of God, you got to be trained by the Holy Spirit. Now, learning of God is a step that you take. But being trained by the Holy Spirit is something so much greater entirely. It's entirely so much greater than just learning of God. But learning of God is very important. Learning of God is included in the training. Learning God's ways, learning His will, receiving His word, learning how to hold on to the word, learning how to receive the word, learning how to believe the word, learning how to apply the word in your life. Some people, when you talk about the word, their training is tradition based. Well, I'm just a carpenter, so I go to church, I take my family to church, we learn about the Lord, and the pastor does my praying, the pastor does all the teaching, the pastor does my studying. Now that's tradition. And you know, it was better than nothing, but in the old days, everybody didn't read. And because kings and leadership wanted to control people, they had the Catholic priest to read the Bible from Latin and translate it for the people. And they had them doing some weird things. And then Martin Luther brought the word back to the people. And he helped translate it in German, because he was from Germany. And he gave the word to the people and taught them to live by faith. And he posted his 95 theses in public. See, you don't go in those days, everything was... The way I understand it, in the Roman Empire, things were sanctioned by the king. You know, you didn't do anything unless the king allowed you to. And I don't know everything about that culture, so you're going to have to do your own research about this. But he posted things and stirred up a controversy. And then the Bible was eventually translated into the common man's language. But until then, they had to depend on the priest to tell them what it meant. And even in the Protestant churches, some of these traditions bled through. And a lot of things bled through to this day. But see, when you're trained by the Holy Spirit, He will take you one-on-one and show you what's right with what's right. He'll show you what is divisive. He'll show you what's wrong with what's wrong. He'll show you the plots and plans of the enemy. And you have to be trained. See, the enemy changes the focus. If the focus has changed, then you change with it. Whatever you're focused on, whatever your opinion is, once it's your opinion, you don't go against it. You don't resist it. Some opinions need to be not only resisted, but kicked out. You know, when I went to the Holiness Church, there was a doctrine called... sanctification. And it gave a list of things you couldn't do. some things were probably right. Something, a lot of it was just wrong. And the reason it was wrong, it changed, is because it changed the focus. You know, the hard line holding this Pentecostal movement, the doctrine of sanctification, it was not based on what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. It was based on laws. And see, the same problem, this is why it's divisive. The Jews, in the days of the apostles, were trying to get people to be circumcised and eat certain foods that were clean. And they said, you can't eat what's not clean. And Gentile believers were coming into the kingdom of God. Well, they ate like they ate, and they were right to do so. Just bless it and eat it, just like Peter's vision suggested. Now, but they tried to impose the laws of the Jews on the Christians that were Gentiles. Now, what this does is your righteousness is based on the blood of Jesus, not what you eat, not what you drink, not what you wear, not what day you go to church on, and not whether you're circumcised or not. Okay, but in the Jewish mind, if you were not circumcised, you were nothing. If you didn't worship on the Sabbath day, you were nothing. If you broke if you walked too far on the Sabbath day, you were wrong. If you ate pork, shellfish, or anything considered unclean, you were evil. You see what they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. All those signs and ceremonial duties that they used to perform pointed to the fact that they needed a Savior. But see, the Jewish mind, the unrenewed Jewish mind, didn't know that. So they tried to put laws and protocols on people that, you know, if you study Colossians chapter 2, you'll see what I'm talking about. Well, in modern times, the Pentecostal churches did the same thing. You can't go to movies. You can't drink coffee. You can't drink beer. You can't drink wine. You can't watch sports. Can't go to movies. Did I say movies, television, all that? You know, it was so many things you can't do. Or you're a sinner again. And none of that stuff is true. When you believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're in Him, the Holy Spirit will guide you. If you do something that's out of sync with your conscience, it's wrong for you. Now, you know, Romans chapter 14 explains this. And I'm just pointing out something that was so divine. It took people's attention off of Jesus, off of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and onto performance. And so when people if you ever deal with people that do that, it's a very grieving way to live, because it doesn't produce fruit. It doesn't help anybody. And it causes so many problems on so many levels, and nobody knows it. And it looks good on paper, because they use scripture to support it. But see, when the Lord had me to read chapters instead of scriptures, now, to be honest with you, I started seeing holes in that doctrine a long time ago. But when I started reading chapters instead of scriptures, I started seeing it for what it was and how divisive it was. And as I drew near to the Lord, I just knew by the Holy Spirit that some of the stuff that they were teaching was unclean. It just wasn't right. So if I was around some Christians like to smoke. Now, when I had a conscience against smoking, I wouldn't go and get cigarettes for people. I remember I wouldn't hand people cigarettes. I thought it was wrong. And I still, that doesn't, and I don't smoke, and I never will. And I think it's foolish more than a sin to smoke because of the problems it causes. I know people that died from it. They say every cigarette you smoke is another nail in the coffin. Well, people get lung cancer. But the people who really get it is the people that's around the person smoking, because they have a filter at the end of that cigarette. So instead of telling people what they can't do, I just pay attention to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit guide me. There are things that I will never do. But the things that the Lord listed, that's what you don't do. The things written in Galatians chapter 5, those are the things, those are the no-nos. Because it's crossing the line of love. I drink coffee. Coffee is, I like the way it tastes. I like the way it smells. It don't hurt you. Somebody made a doctrine to limit people from drinking coffee because it looked worldly to them. I don't know why, but you can't do people that way. See, now this is Romans chapter 13. Now he's dealing with these issues right here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it. Let me start at verse 9. Verse 8. I started verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the living, the dead, and the living. But why doest thou judge thy brother, or why doest thou set at nothing thy brother? And that's the divisive part of the doctrine of sanctification. Because it's a false representation of who God is. Why do you judge your brother, or why doest thou set at nothing thy brother? For we shall stand before the judgment, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, sometimes I think about that, and I want God to, I don't want to have nothing wrong. When I feel God, I want everything in my life to be right. And I want him, I want whatever I do to be good with God. And everything that's not like Jesus has got to go. I say that all the time because I know this judgment day is coming. The judgment seat. We all going to be before it one day. But if we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. I thank God for that. But verse 10 again. But why doest thou judge your brother? Or why doest you set at nothing your brother? That's even worse. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. To me, cigarettes is unclean. But I'm not your Holy Ghost. You got to go to the Lord about your cigarette problem and whether you want it in your life or not. Now, I tell people that's on drugs, get saved, and you'll be able to get rid of the drugs. I tell people that drink wine, get saved, and you'll be able to conquer the wine problem. See, if drinking too much wine is divisive, no, a fool knows that. But Jesus' first miracle was turning water into what? Wine. He didn't say it was 100 proof, but it was good wine. And people have been drinking. See, when you make a doctrine out of something, you better know what you're doing. Some things you just leave alone, let the Holy Spirit handle. Okay, verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Okay, some people believe, well, I can eat what I want. I can eat meat. But you got a weak brother over here that don't believe, that thinking he thinks that eating meat is wrong. Well, just lay your life, just don't eat it around him. You don't have to hide the fact that you just don't eat it right, because he weak. That's the point that he's making. Verse 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Now watch this. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man, for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. See, a person's soul is more important than your luxuries. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. If it's not listed in Galatians 5, and it's not a sin, happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. Just like my coffee. I drink coffee. I enjoy my coffee. I drink one glass, one cup a day, or two at the most. If it's cold outside, I might drink more. But, you know, I'm not. That's mine. That's what I like to do. But I don't get high. I don't drink. And I don't smoke. But when people do those things, that's not my business. Now, if the I'll put it this way. Our church used to believe that women, this was Refuge Temple back in the 80s. If Bishop Bonner didn't believe in women preachers, so the churches he established didn't believe women preachers, okay? And they had their reasons, and they used scriptures. In fact, the scriptures that they used to say that they couldn't preach are the very ones that exposed the fact that they can. But see, when you are dogmatic about something, you can't. You know, God has to deal with you on that. And you really believe women can't? I told people that they couldn't preach before. I was wrong. I had to call them back and apologize when I learned better. But I kept running into women. I ran into a woman. She said, I used to go to Refuge Temple, but the Lord called me to the ministry, so I had to leave. But she loved the church. And she sounded sincere. She didn't sound flaky. She sounded sincere. And it made me think. Not long after that, the Lord dealt with Elder Lewis. And he released the women so they could preach. And five women were called to the ministry. And they were very effective, you know, in their ministry. Now, that's what I mean by training. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth and show you what's of him and what's not of him. So when this happened, I said, you know, being dogmatic is not the way to go. Let the Lord guide you and you'll do a perfect work. You see, the point of all this is love. You know, you don't have to be the Holy Ghost policeman for people. You work with people where they're at. Now, the sin, that's going to destroy. But what people call sin is not always a sin. And if you don't know how to, if you know, the Holy Spirit is always there to help you brace yourself. Sometimes when I would administer the doctrine of the church to people, so to speak, I would get a check in my spirit. And then I stopped doing it. Now, again, the women. This woman got called to the ministry, but she had to leave the church because that church didn't believe in women preachers. She wanted to obey God. The Lord dealt with it. What do? You believe what God, you go with what God say. And that's what she did. When Elder Lewis released the women, five went up. They were preachers. And they were effective. I was blessed by them. Now, all that being said, see, when you let the Lord train you, you let the Lord correct you. How many times did Jesus teach his disciples? He taught them things along the way. He showed them things. He made things plain. He gave them face-to-face adjustments. And then they repented. Okay. They became stable in the faith. And then they came to the point that they were able to walk in the love of God and stay pure. But see, the enemy is the one that's divisive. He comes to kill, steal, destroy. So you got to remember these things. It's all about the love of God. Then in verse 23 it says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." And that's true. You don't want to get out of the realm of the love of God. You want to stay in the realm of the love of God. See, people, the Jews went about telling people all these things they couldn't do. Now they're sin focused. They're focused on not sinning. And that's an evil way to live. The Holiness Church did the same thing through the doctrine of sanctification. They made people focus on what they shouldn't be doing. And they became performance based instead of faith based. Now, since I said all this, I'm going to read this one again. Verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Now, instead of telling the people what was really wrong, they had them doing all these performance-based things. But instead of being trained by the Holy Ghost. Now, Galatians 5, it tell you what's right and wrong.